Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome back to the Growing Up the Same podcast. I'm your host, Trevon Edwards. I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Madison. And today, we have a very special guest. But before that, what's up, Jay? How you doing?
What up?
Man.
Here we are again, episode 2.
Episode 2, man. It's been a crazy week, man. But, you know, we talk all the time, so we ain't going to do this over the air. I'm going to introduce our guest. We got Calmatic. What up?
Man, what's up, man? I feel like this happened hella fast. Niggas called me today, and we own it.
Why not?
Nah, it's all good, man. It's all good.
I appreciate you, man. Definitely. Look, and Jay probably tell you a little backstory a little later, man, but definitely, man. You're a lifesaver, man, for sure.
No, it's all good, man.
But I ain't going to talk too much, man. I'm going to let Jason get right into his segment.
Yeah, so we open each show off with one of the two. And it's a segment I do with everybody, and it's basically I give you a couple options, you give me this or that, and let me know what you feel.
All right, for sure, for sure.
All right. Spike Jones or Hype Williams?
Man, Spike Jones, bro.
Okay.
That's a funny one, though. I feel like I should say Hype Williams just off GP, but, like, right. Spike Jones, for sure, Spike Jones.
Alexa or Red?
Man, iPhone. Right, to be honest, I do fuck with the Alexa over the Red, but like, to be honest, like, I don't really be knowing. Like, to me, it's all about the lens and the lighting and all the shit we don't really know about.
Right.
Yeah.
Body. Kendrick or Nas?
Kendrick, bro. I think maybe like last year, I like finally like declared Kendrick my favorite rapper of all time, bro. Like,
wow.
Yes, yeah, it's official. Like, at this point, you know what I'm saying? At this point.
Right, right.
Yeah.
A big artist with a small budget or a big budget and a small artist?
Oh, wait. A big artist with a small budget. Damn, bro. That's crazy. I think a small artist with a big budget. It depends on, like, because, like, when I did Anderson .Paak's Bubbling video, he was kind of considered a small artist at that time, but he had a big-ass budget. So it was a perfect combination. But I ain't trying to do nothing for nobody popping for the low. Hell no.
Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle?
Chris Rock, man. Like, man, I don't want to be controversial, but, like, I mean, to be honest, like, it's definitely Chris Rock over Dave Chappelle, but, like, Dave Chappelle ain't that funny to me, bro. Like,
really?
Yeah, like, he's funny, but, like, I'd rather watch Jamie Foxx.
Right.
Like, Jamie Foxx is the GOAT to me, bro.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Prime lens or zoom lens?
Zoom lens.
Okay. That's interesting.
And nigga Matt, Trey, like, what?
I don't even know what that means. Like,
well, the reason, I say the reason, so, like, a fixed lens is, like, it's just, like, whatever, like, size the lens is, you can't zoom in, you can't zoom out. But, like, a zoom lens, like, that's what I started off with. So you could be hella versatile. You could hit them with the wide and just zoom in to the close-up, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I fuck with the zoom lens.
Madden or 2K?
2K. Yeah, 2K. Okay. I ain't fucked with Madden in a while.
Steadicam or Dolly?
Dolly. Okay. A ghetto Dolly, though. Like a Dolly that got, like, little bumps and shakes in it so you can fit texture. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
Pharrell or Kanye?
Ooh! Man, dog. I feel like at one point they were the same person, but I think, like, when it comes to music, same thing with Kendrick, I just declare Pharrell, like, the greatest of all time. And I think, like, his humility, you know, makes him just an overall, like, more inspiring person. But Kanye on some just, like, art shit and just, like, looking at a nigga's life, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't lie, that shit is very, I don't want to say entertaining, but it's very interesting to watch, so... It's definitely Pharrell, though, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roscoe's or In-N-Out?
In-N-Out. In-N-Out.
Yeah. I feel that. Mm-hmm. Studio session or editing session?
Damn. I say editing session by myself. Like, I hate when niggas try to come in the studio, in my editing session to try to, like, edit the video with me. Like, let me do it by myself, and then I'll send it to you. You're not an editor. Like, don't come sit next to me.
Right. No. MySpace or Black Planet?
Damn. I think it's definitely MySpace. MySpace was popping though, but I definitely had a Black Planet. My Black Planet page is actually still up low key. Like if you type it in, I don't know how and why, but MySpace was popping though, dog, with the music on the page and the custom backgrounds and the top eight. Like MySpace was one of the greatest. Oh shit, my bad. What dog?
You good? I got this shit with my phone. I'm trying to turn the messages off my computer. This shit keep dinging. This shit sound like Count the Dings in this motherfucker. Wu-Tang or Tribe Called Quest?
Oh, damn. I don't know, man. I'm gonna go Wu-Tang. Like they individual artists is just like crazy. Like ODB alone is like, you know, is the winner for that one. Yeah, ODB, Wu-Tang for sure.
Friday or House Party?
definitely Friday.
I had to tell you a little Baby Boy or The Wood?
Oh damn! It got like it's really a tie, but if I had to choose, it's definitely The Wood. Like I went to La Tierra, so like that whole like I feel like that movie is damn near my life. So definitely The Wood.
Yeah. Spielberg or Kubrick?
Spielberg, man. You know, I mean, to be honest, man, like I'm not a big movie guy. Like you would think I'm like all about directors like and shit, but like to be honest, like. I'm Spike, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really know they work like that to be, like, you know, to know who's better.
Right, right. No, I feel that.
Yeah.
Nia Long or Sanaa Lathan?
Nia Long, bro. Nia Long still got it.
Hey, it's crazy. I used to talk to this chick, and she said, like, over there in Culver City, she said she used to live right next door to her. I'm like, damn, I didn't even know she was from the city like that.
Bro, she went to Westchester, dog.
Yeah, I didn't even know that, bro, until, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Years ago, I found out. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. Makes sense.
Dodgers.
Oh, man, Lakers with Dodgers. Man, that's crazy because, like, obviously I'm a baseball fan. It got to be the Lakers, man. Because, like, to be honest, the Dodgers ain't really won. Like, they ain't really won no ships. Like, that's the funny part. I'm
close.
I know. I mean, I know, like, but I just feel like the Lakers, like, I grew up, like, I was born across street from the Forum. Like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't see, you know, niggas was weak and win three, you know what I'm saying? So, Kobe, like, all that. So, it's definitely the Lakers.
Okay. And then the last one is snapbacks or beanies?
trucker hats. I mean, yeah, that's what I'm on, man. Like I wear everything, but I'm really on some trucker hat shit lately.
Yeah.
Make a nigga head look longer than what it really is.
Take it back to 2002. Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna get into these Nardwar style questions.
I know y'all about to go in. This nigga about all right, whatever.
So come on. what's your favorite Little Brother song?
Oh man, come on, man. What? Bro, I can't even pick. Like, let's see. I honestly can't pick, dog. It's 50 of them. I say Speed by Little Brother is probably my favorite song. You like, niggas like, what is that?
No, I know. I got it all on my computer. That's why I'm asking you.
Are you an LB fan?
Yeah.
Bro. Oh, Speed from The Listening.
Okay.
Like, see, bro.
For me, it's Dreams.
Dreams. Oh yeah,
Mama,
yeah.
Okay. I got dreams.
Yeah. That's like a little later.
Yeah.
Bro, you know what's crazy? I almost did a video for Fonte like last year for his last album. Mm-hmm. That shit was crazy. It was like we was texting and shit. I was just like, yo, I can't believe I'm texting this nigga. Like that was my idol, bro. Like, definitely Little Brother all day still to this day.
So, you know he working on some shit with Like right now.
Who? Fonte?
Yeah, that Like played me some shit. Yeah, he played me two records that they got together. That's fire. You know, them niggas is some rapping ass niggas.
Oh, I already know. Yeah, I already know. Like that whole era of like hip hop with all the groups from that era, like, you know, Pac Div and all them, like that shit is like the golden years for us.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Niggas talk about the golden era, but like we wasn't around for that, so we can't really feel the LL Rakim shit the way that they felt it. But it's like when we was coming up, like you said, like Pac Div and Lil Brother and, you know what I'm saying, all the shit that we was around, whether even, like, you know, Kendrick, J. Cole, all that shit, like, that was our golden era.
Nigga. Bro, niggas can make a whole, like, we could talk for 20 hours about this shit, but even, like, to be honest, like, I know you're gonna love hearing this, but, like, even, like, seeing Watermelon, not Watermelon Sunday, but Who Rolling With Me, like, yeah. to see that video, like, I never seen anything like that before. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I never seen a nigga with, like, the great Jordans and, like, you know, like, a snapback and, like, niggas in Lamar Park just chilling with their own clothesline. And, like, it's funny because even, like, I tell El Prez, like, El Prez was the first rapper I ever knew from Inglewood. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Just, like, random shit like that. Like, at that point, like, y'all, like, a lot of y'all was, like, the first, like, local L.A. rappers that weren't on that, you know, typical, like, you know, West Coast, you know, gangbang shit. And so it was just like, that was like the beginning of all this shit that we see today, for sure, for sure. Yeah.
All right, my next question is, what's the best Madden of all time?
The best Madden? I don't know. I'm not really a big Madden fan. Like, I think, like, the best Madden to me was, like, I don't know what year it was, but it was when Mike Vick was on the cover. Was it 07?
That's 04.
Oh, 04, yeah. I just remember like being able to, like, you know, run and shit and, like, I don't know.
He was a cheat code, man. He was ridiculous on there.
I actually was, like, really heavy into NFL 2K around that time too.
Yeah.
Like, NFL 2K was hard. But yeah, but Madden, it's funny because I used to play my homeboy Season. Actually, I was never good at Madden. Like, I was never like a good Madden nigga. Like, I can play, but I'm not gonna beat you. But I remember when I was at Northridge, my homie Season was my next door neighbor in the dorms, and we used to play Madden every single day for like making like 7 hours straight, just every day. So that was like my Madden phase, 05, 06. Yeah.
That's fire. What's your favorite Sugar Free lyric?
Man, let's see, man. That's the thing. I can't even think of this shit. Like, man, like, he got so many, man. To be honest, I like, okay, so this is my thing. I don't have a favorite Sugar Free lyric. But, like, I love the way this nigga start his verses with just, like, random phrases or, like, random questions. Yeah. Like, he'll just start a verse with, it was a freestyle on YouTube where he started the verse off with, "That's hard." And then he said, "I got a bitch up in Oxnard," or some shit. I was just like,
what? Where he'd be like, There was a black man, a white man, giving out hair.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny because I used to, when we used to, like, be overdosed, like, we'd be in the studio, and, like, P would be, like, stuck on the verse, and we used to, like, literally just, like, listen to, like, a Sugar Free freestyle and take one word that he said and just build a verse off of that shit because he's just so random, and he's the king of the setup, man.
Yeah.
That nigga's the GOAT, man.
Yeah.
Why would he say, "Why the little girl walk around with a goldfish in her pocket?"
Yeah, exactly.
Like the big girl.
Exactly. Yeah.
My next question is, which house party is your favorite?
Man, dude, I've been watching all the house parties like 24/7 for like the last few months. I think the first one is the best one. I mean, I think House Party 2 was really good. And it started getting kind of weird. I'd say House Party 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
What made you become a rapper? Because I remember when you was 310 before Calmatic.
Yo, you know what's so funny, bro? Like, niggas know that I rap, but, like, no one knows my rap name. And it's so funny because I'd be like, if this nigga's just new, like, if they just search these words, they'll find a whole bunch of shit that'll make them laugh. But, I mean, I don't know what made me start rapping. Like, I mean, it was just like something I just did. I think, like, I had a summer job working at like in this office. So I had a computer and like a notepad, and I used to print out lyrics from like this website, like print out like PD Crack lyrics and State Property lyrics, and then I would just like rewrite the lyrics, but like change like certain shit to like, you know, to like relate to me, and then I just kept writing. Next thing you know, I was rapping. So it was a random gradual thing.
Yeah. So what made you make the change from rapping to directing, and like you deciding like, all right, I'm gonna do this. I ain't gonna rap no more. I'm gonna do this.
Man, I tell people all the time, like, I mean, I don't know what, I don't think I ever made the decision, like, I'm going to start directing. It was just, like, I was always into, like, computers and, like, technology and photography and shit. And so I just so happened to fall into, like, a video camera. And so I started filming the homies. But the reason I stopped rapping is because that shit used to give me hella anxiety, bro. Like, it sounds so, like, funny and small right now, but like going on two dope boys and like looking at the blogs every day and seeing like other niggas do videos and put out songs and getting recognition, that shit used to fuck with me, bro. And I used to really like try to like play this game and like try to like, you know, send emails to niggas and get put on hiphopgame.com and all this shit. And that shit just got hella overwhelming. And I was just like, I'm straight, bro. Like, I'd rather just like do this shit for fun and like just like, you know, just, you know, not put too much weight on it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm glad I did that though, man. Shit.
That was a great decision.
Bro, this shit.
Do you think having been an artist helps you being a director? Kind of like, you know, when a player retires and becomes a coach?
Oh, all day, bro. It's so funny because, like, even like you included, like I tell, you know, Tunji at RCA all the time, I'm like, we need to make a mixtape of all the niggas who people don't know used to rap. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Just to show, like, because it's like, you know, like, obviously I deal with a bunch of like rappers or just different artists. And, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get into it too deep, but I feel like I'm better than some of these niggas, you know what I'm saying? And so, but also with that being said, like, you know, I have a marketing like mine when it comes to creating a visual form. So like, I don't think of it like, let's just make a dope video. Like, I consider like where they are in their career and like what they need to do to like advance to the next level. So no, but that's not necessarily like, oh, you need to do like the biggest video to advance to the next level. It's like, nah, like let's do something like a little bit more grounded so people can see the growth. Like, we don't need the big video now. Let's do like the culture video. Let's do like the fashion video. Then let's do like the big pop star video. You know what I'm saying? So always take that into consideration. You know, even when I did the Old Town Road thing, I was like, this video can't be too good. Like, it can't be too clean and polished. Like, it gotta feel a little road star-ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just so you can see the progression. Like, he couldn't come out the gate, you know, with a fucking, you know, the shit he on now with, like, you know, the aliens and the robots and all that kind of stuff. Right. You gotta kind of grow into that.
Yeah. No, that's a very smart, intelligent way of doing that. I was even thinking that more so with the Bubbling video, how Anderson .Paak was kind of like, he was known and he was popping, but he kind of needed that, like, next level look of just like, okay, what, like, you know, what is your next iteration as an artist, you know? Mm-hmm. And you gave him that with that video, like, completely.
Yeah, he needed to have fun.
Yeah.
Not be like the soulful crooner, you know what I mean? He needs to just be like a random nigga, low key. Like, just like a, you know, yeah, and just energetic.
Nah, definitely. Yeah. What was it like working and building with guys you grew up with?
You mean as far as who?
Like Overdose, C-San, like guys that you knew, like I'm saying before, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it was even really rapping in a group like that. Like, y'all was cool. Y'all was homies, you know?
Yeah, man. You know, I think it was cool for the most part. Like, I think, like, it's so crazy, man, because, like, now that I'm older and I see a lot of young kids today, I'm just like, man, these niggas is lucky, man. They're young and they get to, like, explore and, like, be creative in this era. And then I think back to my time and I look at it as like, man, that shit was crazy. It was hard. Like, we were struggling.
Right.
But But when I really think deep down inside, like, that was, like, some of the best times of my life, you know what I'm saying? Being able to just, like, not have responsibilities, go film videos, like, fuck around, travel, meet celebrities, you know, niggas had music videos on 106 in Park, niggas went to Atlanta to work with Outkast, like, you know what I mean? Like, those are, like, once-in-a-lifetime, experiences, but then to do it with, like, niggas you grew up with, niggas you played baseball with, like, that shit is hella special, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Has winning a Grammy motivated you to, like, do a little bit more, or was it, like, not a whatever thing, because you respect the art, but, like, was it just another day in the office?
I mean, listen, like, obviously, I'm happy as hell that I got a Grammy, you know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't say it's just another day in the office, but I've experienced that, and now I'm searching for, like, the next thing, but not necessarily the next thing that's, like, the next bigger thing, but just the next thing to, like, fulfill me, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm realizing that it's not the trophy, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, especially with this corona shit, like, you realize that all that shit don't matter. Like, you know, I just won, like, an ad award for, like, director, and that shit is, like, supposedly, like, a big deal for, like, the commercial world, but, like, you know, ain't, like, nothing has changed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still the same shit. And like, I realize that those awards don't really, you know, help you mentally, you know, or financially. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's all about your next shit. And so I'm grateful for it. I think it's funny because, like, aside from winning a Grammy and a VMA, I'm, like, obsessed with those award shows. Like, I watch them every year, and I be arguing about who should have won and, you know, having, like, Grammy watch parties and shit like that, and to actually be a part of it is, like, a dream come true. But, you know, and I would love to win more, but it's just not the only thing that's out there for me.
Okay, I got a question for you and Jason.
Yeah.
How much was John Singleton an inspiration to both of you guys' careers?
Man.
I mean, he was an inspiration in a way of, like, there wasn't a lot of black directors, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't really a lot of people to even look at, you know? So it was like, you looking at Spike Lee and you know, being from LA, I don't know what none of Brooklyn looked like, you know what I'm saying? I never been around none of them streets. So I could only relate to Boys in the Hood and Baby Boy and Poetic Justice because I knew them streets. I knew everywhere they was talking about and all the type of people that he had in the movie, like, you know, and it was all them characters, like, them was niggas I knew. So that's what made it, like, me fuck with John Singleton, because he was, other than the Hughes Brothers and Menace to Society, obviously being, like, the one film niggas look at, like, you know, Boys in the Hood was cool, but it was still a little bit, like, too, I don't even know, like, too buttoned up for me. But when he came out with Baby Boy, it was like, damn, I know all of them niggas. You feel me? And it was like, I could relate to every one of these characters. I seen this. This is my mama's friend. This is so-and-so. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Boy, this is my little cousin. Like, all that shit. So after that, I had immense respect for John Singleton after I seen that movie. I watched that shit like 100 times. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, yeah, nah, he for sure impacted just my whole view of, like, what's cool and what you could put in a movie, because I didn't even think niggas would fuck with a movie like that, you know what I'm saying, on some hood nigga shit. But then to see the classic aspect that it gets revered with in the black, you know what I'm saying, community, I'm like, all right, cool, niggas can do, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. And still, like, be true to themselves as an artist.
Yeah, I think for me, like, he opened my eyes to, like, having more pride in L.A., and I kind of told myself this, like last year, I was like, man, like, to be honest, like, I can't see myself making a movie anywhere else except L.A. Like, obviously, I'm down to do whatever, but, like, I would love for my career to be, you know, when it's all said and done, I got 10 movies, 10 different genres, 10 different, subject matter, and it's all in L.A., you know what I'm saying? So obviously we could tell the hood movies, but if it's like an indie drama with two Filipino or two Asian girls, that live in Gardena, like, I want to direct that, you know what I mean? Because I just feel like LA is, like, bigger than just, you know, what we know. I mean, like, what the world knows, you know, through his films. But it's, like, it's enough to do, it's enough stories and places here to explore that you don't need to, let, you don't need to necessarily leave and seek out, you know, other stories. So he just gave me more pride in LA.
Okay. How did the Fire Exit video come about for Kendrick?
Oh man, that's funny. So that was a video for Monster Freestyle. And I remember when it came out, I was like, all right, let's shoot a video for it. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to do this concept where, like, every, cause it was like one of them shit where he was just like spitting like constant bars. Right. So I was like, if this nigga spit 100 bars, what if we changed the scene every 2 bars and had like 50 scenes in the video? So it's just like, blah, 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 cut, blah, 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 cut. And so we started shooting the video. We started filming it. We went to downtown, and every time we picked a new location, he was going to have a different outfit on, different look, different energy. And so we started off in the parking lot, and we filmed it a couple times. And then we ended up, we was in somebody's loft in downtown, then we went to a rooftop, and then we was leaving the rooftop. We was coming down in the building, and we was in that little fire exit. And we was like, let's shoot a scene here. And when we start shooting it, we was like, yo, this is like actually better than anything we shot. Let's just do the whole video here. And so we just, you know, had that nigga perform it like 100 times, and then just like chopped it up, you know, hella crazy. And that was the video.
What's your favorite baseball movie?
Man, I gotta say Sandlot, man. Like, you know, like, to be honest, I think obviously there's a lot of baseball movies. Like, I think, like, if I have to say, like, my top three off top is, like, Sandlot, Major Leagues, Rookie of the Year. I like Hardball, but I felt like, you know, it was all right.
Hardball is the love and basketball of sports movies.
It's cool. Like, yeah. It ain't really like baseball. But, I mean, no, it is. I mean, I remember when I went to go see it, I was like around the age that they were, or a little bit older. And I remember being so jealous that I wasn't in the movie, dog. Just like, like, there was a scene where they played against that good team. And they was like hitting home runs and shit. I was like, damn, that could have been me. like, clearly niggas was in Chicago, but I was just like, man, I wish I was in that movie. But yeah, man, definitely Sandlot for sure.
What videos did you love to watch?
Like music videos.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know, man. I just remember back in the day, whenever I would go to my cousin's house, like, we would just watch The Box all day. And, you know, just like those early 90s music videos were like, I don't know what it was about The Box, but they play all kinds of music videos. And a lot of the music videos I loved, like, were artists that were unknown. You know what I'm saying? Just like random ass artists, you know, just had videos on there. They had all those Crips and Blood music videos too. Like, they
Banging
had a
on
bunch
wax,
of crazy.
Man. Banging yeah, on, like, my dad's in the video.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Pyro That's Love. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So niggas is just like, but it was just like on TV. And like, so I don't know. I think like just seeing, you know, even being in LA and then seeing shit like Bone Thugs and Harmony, Eazy-E, and like seeing what I saw outside on TV, like that shit, like, I don't know, just did something to me where I was just like hella interested in everybody's culture, everybody's background, everybody's like living situation.
Like on The Box, did you ever pay for a video?
Nah, it's funny because I never actually did that. I think I may have tried to do it one time, or I would like call and act like I was doing it, but just didn't actually go through with it.
Right.
But I used to know some of the numbers by heart, like some of the videos. Like, so when I see, you know, you can see niggas calling in like on the bottom screen, like I used to be like, oh shit, like, you know, whatever about to come on, or like, you know, my favorite video. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I never actually called though. If you actually called The Box, then I feel like you was either rich or you was bad or one of the
yeah, you was for so bad. Your credit card or some shit.
Yeah, like,
it was easily like $3 or $4 a music video, too.
That shit I was gonna say, shout out to whoever used to order videos, because it wouldn't be shit without the order them ordering. But also, on a side note, I wonder how did the artists get paid from that, because that's a lot of money, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, no, that's true, because it ran 24 hours. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, B2K stayed on there. Like, yeah,
I was thinking about
Boy stayed on there.
Man, it ran that long?
Oh yeah, bro. The
See,
box.
I was tapped after that. I think I caught it, bro, like, I think I tapped out like 94.
bro, the box ended in like 03 or something. Like,
that's,
I think,
crazy.
Like 02, and then it transitioned to MTV2.
Okay.
And then MTV2, yeah. So,
see,
like,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I mean, it was Mickey back then, but it was still rolling.
We had cable probably for like 1 year max. I was a kid with all the video games, but I didn't have no cable. So, like, the fact, like, when I go over to my cousin's house, I would just pour up a big ass bowl of cereal, bro, and just fire it up and just be sitting there like,
nigga,
you know,
channel
like,
30.
Yo, this shit is amazing, man.
Channel 30, bro, the box.
So, what made you the happiest as a kid?
Man, that's a good question. Man, I think it was like playing baseball, man. Like, that was my life, bro. Like, it wasn't nothing like playing baseball. Like, that's all I did until I got to college. Like, baseball, like, the way niggas be like, ball is life, like, baseball was life for me, for sure. Yeah,
Jason, what was the happiest? What made you the happiest as a kid?
I don't know. Probably the same type of thing, playing basketball. You know what I'm saying? And playing music. Honestly, when I became a DJ when I was 13, like, my dad got me my first set of turntables, and I used to play with his records. And then, like, I started buying records from the swap meet. And I remember in 2000. When the Neptunes came out, when I Just Want to Love You came out, I was 13 years old. I bought that record, and I bought two of them because I was trying to, like, scratch between back and forth. And that was probably one of the happiest moments. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, playing a song you love loud as fuck and just learning how to do something, like DJing scratch with it, like, that was the best shit. You know what I'm saying? That's still one of my favorite songs.
That shit fire.
I think for me, it was being able to leave the house, go meet up with my friends, go ride the bikes. Like, we would go ride everywhere. I lived in Eastside Compton. We would ride all the way to Carson, dude.
And just be
everywhere. But the fact that, like, I could throw my bike down, go to the water hose, you know, it'd be a random stranger water hose. Like, it just fired up. You know what I mean? We probably got, like, $2 in our pockets, bro. We be eating good off the two cash back then. And then, man, you know, as long as you got home before it was dark, man, it was a solid little time, man. And I always think about that because I'm like, you know, now as an adult, I mean, I ain't got no kids or nothing like that. I'd be just like thinking about, and the same thing how you said about the Grammy. I was in Forbes yesterday, and I was just like, okay, me and Jason talking, and I'm like, how do I really feel about this? Because, like, again, it's Corona. Yeah, I'm happy and other people are happy for me, but, like, I don't want to make it, like, not a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I was.
Yeah, dog.
And I'm showing love on the gram. Like, people are posting me and I'm, like, reposting it, but I'm just kind of like. Like, honestly, it's like, regular. I'm just happy to be alive because people aren't even waking up right now, bro. So.
Bro, yeah. It's a tricky thing, bro, because I don't know what it is either. Like, I think. I don't want to get too deep, but I feel like, you know, especially being an artist, being a rapper, like, you spend so much of your career seeing other niggas win.
Yeah.
And as much as we don't want to admit it, you niggas feel salty inside, like, fuck, like, I wish that was me, whatever. And so I think there's this thing where when you're on the opposite end, where you're in that situation of winning, you want to be humble because you don't want to make the people, quote unquote, below you feel bad, like you feel.
Yeah.
But what we got to realize is, like, you know, that was just us that was feeling salty. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody don't feel salty that somebody else is winning. So people are happy for you and niggas be posting, you know, because niggas love you. And like, trust me, I struggle with that shit all the time. I'm like, I haven't even opened my Grammy yet. Like, it's literally sitting in a box right there. Like, I'm looking at it right now. I haven't even opened it. But, like, because also, like, it's like once I open it, is it over? You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a lot of little, like, crazy mental shit going on with that. But,
that's deep.
But no, I feel you. I feel you 100%, bro. Like, it's tough.
Well,
but,
like,
Shout out to both of y'all, but low key,
deep down inside, like you, like nigga, you're in Forbes. You probably like deep down inside, like yeah, nigga, let's go.
Well, no, that was the thing. Like, obviously, I talked to Jason and I talked to my boy Donald. My boy Donald's like, and it's the thing. I haven't fact checked it, but he was like, you and Kendrick are the only two from Compton in Forbes. And I'm just like, wow. I'm like, huh? But it ain't really like Kirk to me, like, huh? Like. Are you kidding me? Like, all right. And then I just dumbed it back down. Like, all right. And that's just how I am, though. You know what I mean?
Because no, I get it. Yeah.
I'm pushing a whole different line. So I'm thankful for it.
That's what's up, man.
You know, again, I'm like you. I don't know what's next, but I'm also not aiming for what's next. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like what really fulfills me, because it was good. My mom was happy. The homies was happy. But like, you know. Mm-hmm. What's really going to be kind of fulfilling for me, you know what I mean? Because it's not money or anything like that. I'm not. Like,
it's just the journey, bro. Like, I think that's what it's about. It's about just like, you know, like right now, like I stay in an apartment, like off of like Slauson and Overhill, and I'm trying to buy a crib, and like I'm thinking, like, nigga, I'm making bread. I finally got some, and I'm like, I still can't afford to buy a house. So now, like. Getting a house in my neighborhood is like my ultimate dream. And I'm like, you know, I walk through Windsor Hills every day looking at them big ass houses and like trying to manifest. But it's like that's my next goal. And then I'm sure once I get my house, I'm going to be like, all right, what's next? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's crazy.
I think that's the daily struggle that humans have in general. You know what I mean? Cause we don't know the sole purpose. We create and we create these false sense of realities in our heads, especially when we're children, and then obviously when we get older, or you see other people that are successful, and then even the successful people aren't really like truly fulfilled. You know what I mean? Like they're looking at it like, well, I wish it went back to this or those certain moments. So those are the life teaching points. All right, so to close it out, go ahead, Jay.
I would just say to that though, too, Trey and Chuck, like. The fulfillment that I get, and obviously I haven't like reached the level of success that, you know, like, or fulfillment that you guys have with the awards and a certain acclaim, but you know, like getting a million plays or whatever, like, you know what I'm saying? Certain accomplishments niggas hit that was like, oh, like this was my dream. And then you hit it. It's like, to me, you know, on some Zen, Buddhist, whatever, like this is a success. Like us having this conversation is the joy that I get. You know what I'm saying? Creating art and being able to go on set and direct another video, that's the joy I get and fulfillment I get out of life.
For sure.
Like
being able to be creative and think and not have to worry about, you know, other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, not having to worry about my next meal is a great thing. And you know what I'm saying? Be able to create and like be with my friends and family and people I love. Like that's really, you know what I'm saying? So like the joy will come when you get the house and then you can have, you know what I'm saying, your mom's over and barbecue. That's what
And don't get it twisted. Like, the joy is here, but it ain't got nothing to do with
That shit, no, for real. I just wanted to express that because I think you guys were saying that, but it wasn't explicit. So for the people that's listening, you know what I'm saying, we enjoy all of that, but it's like really the joy is in, you know what I'm saying, the love and the family and the creation, you know?
For sure.
Glad you added that. So to close this out, what would you tell 18-year-old Calmatic?
Damn, 18-year-old.
Yeah, so you giving him advice.
Man, I don't even know what I was doing at 18. I was tripping. I really wanted to be a baseball player. Don't worry about what everybody else think and just do you. I think, like, it's funny because I feel like, not necessarily growing up, but, like, in those, like, high school, college years, and even, like, some of, like, my post-college years, I was, like, I wasn't necessarily the cool kid, but I was always around the cool kid, you know what I mean? I was filming the cool kids, hanging with the cool kids, you know what I'm saying? And I think, like, throughout that whole time, I never really had that much attention on me, so I wasn't really too worried about, like, what I looked like or what I was dressing and how what I was into, because it wasn't that much attention on me. But I always felt bad about that. I was like, man, should I try to be cooler? Should I get tatted up? Should I, you know, get a whip, whatever? But if I would have definitely reminded myself, like, just don't trip, remain yourself. Eventually, you know, the world will catch up to you and everything will be Gucci. But don't go that other route. That's probably something I tell myself.
That's sound advice, man. Well, you know, me and Jason definitely appreciate you joining us, and hopefully we can have you back, later on down the line.
For sure, man. Appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah. Putting this together. Thank you for your contribution to the game and just being yourself, man.
Nah, likewise. Both for y'all too, man. For real.